come this morning and share the Word of God. Our very own, I like to call our very own Beth Moore, and our very own Joyce Meyer. My nickname for her is the Velvet Hammer. She knows how to bring the truth. Listen, by the way, if you've ever struggled with the whole idea of a woman preacher, please understand that the very first, in the New Testament, who were the very first ones to preach and proclaim the gospel? It was ladies. And the Apostle Paul himself had ladies that he released into ministry. So sometimes, maybe we'll do a teaching about that at some point. But I think a lot of times we get hung up on a couple of scriptures and we don't look at the whole of scripture that really supports and I believe blesses. And by the way, my wife is a wonderful submitted woman of God, not trying to usurp authority or anything like that. She is a sold-out servant of the Lord who loves the Lord and lives that out every day. And she is an incredible wife, an incredible mother, and an incredible pastor's wife. And it was kind of neat because I didn't really see it coming. She said, honey, I love what you're doing with face-to-face. I love the whole concept of an encounter with God. And I've just been really dwelling on a passage of scripture I'd love to share about with the congregation. So I said, well, let's do that, honey. So I think you're going to be blessed today to hear from Tracy. So let's take down some lights, show this video, and then when she comes, would you give her a good new song welcome?
Good. Hey, I know you're wondering why I have this sheep. It is for an illustration. It is not for my comfort, so I just want you to know. Although I haven't done this in quite a while, so I am a little bit nervous, but it's okay. You know, God stretches us, doesn't he? He puts us in, asks us to do things that make us uncomfortable sometimes. And even though it's uncomfortable, it doesn't mean that it's not God. Right? And he has something for us. And I believe he has something for you today. I believe, as I was worshiping, I felt like there are some people in here who are struggling with hope. You've been in a place stuck for a long time. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe it's financially, maybe it's in a relationship, I'm not sure. But God wants you to know that he sees you, that he is with you, that he is helping you. And he wants to do face-to-face with you today, every day. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And as much as you love your children or your spouse or your friends or your moms and dads, he loves you that much more. And I really, really, the cry of my heart through this series and through today is that you will know him in a deeper way. That his love will come and transform your life. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know where you are, whether you're in a great place or you're not in such a great place, but God is going to meet you. He sees you and you're important to him. So I just want you to know that. All right. So we're in a series called Face to Face. Face to Face is pretty, it could be really scary, right? So if somebody sees you from afar off, you can get away with a lot of things. Like the little pudge that goes over your pant. I know none of you struggle with that, but I do. You can hide a lot of things. You know, you can hide a lot of things from a distance. But when somebody comes face to face with you, that can be a little scary, can't it? I mean, like the places in your face or the thing in your hair, or the little gray that's here or whatever. It can be a little, scary. But God has meant us to have face to face with him. That is what it's all about. He came from the very beginning to have a face-to-face with you, with me, with us. Yes. That's really what it's all about. But yet we kind of hold him at a distance, don't we? Wow. I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I kind of like you out here because I'm a mess. Anybody else a mess? Oh, yeah. I mean, we were a mess, right? And then we found out we were a mess when Jesus saved us. Hallelujah. And if you don't know Jesus, then you are a mess and you need to be saved, right? So, because we all do. All have fallen short of the glory of God, right? That's what Scripture says. And we're a mess. Well, here's the thing. So God comes in and he saves us. And he restores our spirit. So now we have connection with him. We're still a mess. Do you know what I'm saying? We come to church and we worship, hallelujah, and God is working in our life. And then we're like, I don't know, we're fussing at our spouse or our children, or we get mad and we kick the dog. I don't kick the dog, but some people do, right? We slam our car door, we do whatever we do, and we still struggle. Struggle, but we're saved, right? We know Jesus and he loves us, but we're a mess. It's okay, guys. It's okay. I just want you to know it's okay. It's okay to be in a mess. Jesus is not shocked by your mess. You may be. I am sometimes. Woo! I thought I was better than that. Wow! I'm not. I'm a mess. And I'm mad. And I still struggle with sin. And I struggle with unforgiveness. I struggle with trying to be something I am not and never will be. And I don't know, God is going, yeah, what's up with that? It's about us walking together. It's about being invited. I came to be in your mess. I came to walk with you face to face in your mess, in the struggle of your life. You see, for me, the encounter and the face to face I've had lately with the Lord is, God, I'm mad. I'm mad about life, and I'm mad about this, and I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and it's not working. You said it would work. You said that this would happen, and it's not happening, and I'm just mad. Mad. And I come here and smile, and I worship the Lord, and I do, and it's real. I'm still mad because things aren't working the way I thought they would. What's up with that? Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. Yes. You do. So I found myself in my bathroom doing laundry, like sorting laundry, and I'm telling God, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at you. Whites go over here. Darks go over here. And then when I'm really mad, you just put everything together, right? You know, and then you stick it in the dryer. I could do that with these pants on. You know. And I told the Lord, I said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. I can't live in this place anymore. There's got to be more of you. You're God. So this isn't working. Why isn't it working? I'm hurting all the time. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm believing. And it still hurts really bad. I needed a face-to-face with God, an encounter with God. Because what I was doing was putting something in. It's I did all the right things. 2 + 2 = 4. 4. I'm getting 28. I don't know. I don't understand. 28. 2 + 2 = 4. And I do it over and over, and it's 28. Why is that? Well, then the enemy comes and says, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. God doesn't really love you. I mean, look at everybody else. They're doing great. 2 + 2 = 4. Over there. I see it. I'm 28. I don't understand it. You know, and then I have the little, I'm a pastor. 2 + 2 = 4. I've done all that. I've checked my T's, and I've done all the right things. So why is it not working? You ever been there? Are you there now? It's okay. He came. He had said to me at one point, the scripture, it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I thought that was for not for me. That's stupid? I don't know. Sometimes I get the stupids. Yeah. So, and the Lord said to me, invite me into your mess. I want to be in the struggle and in the anger part of it. Isn't that what Isaac did? He wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord changed his identity, changed his name. always wanted to avoid the struggle. I'm okay. I'm all right. Woo, I'm okay here too. I don't want to get in that. I don't want to lift that rock. I don't want to do that. I'm not sure this face-to-face thing is okay. I'm just going to stand out here. Although I was dying spiritually, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get under that rock. I want to lift that stuff up. That's too painful for me. Well, that didn't work. Didn't work. And God said, you need a face-to-face with me. Because I see you. You are valuable to me. I love you. I love you when you're angry. I love you when you're happy. I love you in the struggle. I am not falling off my throne because you're having a fit right now. Remember when our kids were little, guys, when you had little ones? And they just so exhausted and tired, and they just mad, and they just throw themselves in the floor just because Lou couldn't put pants on at one point or put a jacket, just those types of things. She's not in here, so I can say that. But, it's whatever, and we're throwing ourselves in the floor or that child, and you just pick them up. You don't get mad at them. You just understand they're at a frustration point. You still love them. Pick them up, give them a kiss, wipe them up, put them in bed. That's what they need, right? Then you go to bed. You take care of them. God is that way. Face-to-face is all about that. It's all about the struggle. It's all about where you are. And God says, don't close me out. Don't shut the door. Don't say, okay, I've got this. Shut the door. Go over here. Do whatever I need to do. Eat food. Watch something. I don't know. Drink something. I don't know what it is. But I've got this. We go over here and we do all that. We close them out. And then it's 28 over and over again. Well, God loves you. He wants to be invited into the mess because that's why he came. Doesn't want you coming back out and saying, I got it all together. Now we can walk together. No. The marriage that's struggling. God, help me to love my husband. Help me to love my wife. Help me to love children that are not even respectful or responding to me. Help me to be respectful of a boss who doesn't even acknowledge me and passes over me. Help me to, you fill in the blank. Invite him in because he wants to be in. That's the power of the face-to-face. That's what it's all about. Well, I had another encounter with the Lord back in June. You're going to love this picture. See the hair? It's a little coiffed. Okay? Just get the whole picture. We went kayaking back in June, if you will remember, my husband's birthday. And when it's your birthday, you get to pick and choose what you want to do. So he wanted to go kayaking. So it was very pretty, okay? Very nice day for the most part. So I was in a kayak with my son, and he was in a kayak with my youngest daughter. And we were going along. And they had told me at the very beginning, it's only rapid two, which means little bumps. So in my mind, I'm thinking little bumps, right? So we're going along, and there's like three or four of these rapids, you know. First one, I get all, I'm real nervous. I'm kind of the nervous type at times. Something new, and brace myself. And my son's laughing at me. He's laughing at me. I'm like, are you serious? Mom, it's no big deal. It's just a little bitty, and he's right. So we just kind of go over. I'm like, oh, it's not bad. So we stop along, and we go swimming at times. And so we'd done that a couple times. Well, the last rapid came, okay. A little tricky, because I had rocks here. Avoid rocks, by the way. And I had rocks here. I'm like, oh, rocks on either side. I need something simple, guys. I need no rocks. That's my way. Okay, no, rocks on either side. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. So my son is still laughing, okay, at me. And I'm in faith, so I'm yelling at him, come on, we need to go through this, So I'm a maniac on the kayaking river. Because we're going to get through this, right? So I'm the first one through. My husband is behind with Lou. And it's loud because it's rapid. So I'm yelling at him, come on, let's paddle hard. And he's laughing. So we go to the V like we're supposed to, okay? Supposed to. And this we're supposed to, woo, go on through. Oh, no. No, no. We get too far over. And we turn. And we fall out of the kayak. As my husband goes through, woo, over there, he just goes right through with his daughter. I'm like, oh. So we're stuck against the rock, okay? Rapids. I mean, now we're trying to get out in the river, and it's just rapids, and we're trying to get the kayak out. We can't. My husband is far along. He doesn't know. He's way up the river. I can't even see him by now. And so it's not a real good experience. I'm not happy. So we're trying to get, we can't get it out. Water's coming at us. We're trying to get, it's just impossible. Cannot get the kayak out. I have no phone. You're kayaking, right? So if I was kayaking and I had my phone, it would be in a bag, which was pinned up against the rock, which I could not move. So I had no way to contact my husband, who now I couldn't see. So I say to my son, we got to get to the shore. We're not too far from the shore, but it's a little piece, and it's through the rapids. So I go to try to step, and I get into rocks, and I keep stumbling, and I keep hurting, and I can't move, really, to get to the shore. So I start to cry. And my son says to me, "Mom, take my hand." So he grabs my hand, and I cry and whimper the whole entire way to the shore with my son. Interesting. So then we're sitting there, and there's no one. There's no one around, no one. So I say to myself, "Lord, where does my help come from?" My help comes from what? The Lord who is heaven and earth. Yes. So about that time, it starts thundering and lightning and pouring down rain. +2=4. I don't understand. And I can't see. I can't hear. And I look around and I'm thinking to myself, I want you to listen. This is important. There's going to be a boat that comes. There's going to be a boat that comes. It's going to come my way. It's going to come up. He's going to get us. And we're going to be swept off into where we need to go. So I'm waiting and waiting. I'm looking. Now, very distant, I see my husband coming along the shore. And I'm sitting on a rock. And I'm thinking, he is on the other side. He's going to have to cross these rapids. My husband was Jesus to me that day. He was my encounter with God. I thought it was going to be a boat that came along, but it wasn't. It was my husband. He was determined to come and find out what had happened to us. He left his kayak with my other daughter on the shore. She was okay. But through the rain, I just could see him coming. And he would slip and he would fall. And he was coming. He was coming. And he got to me, and my son, who had helped me, had decided, against my better judgment, to go down the rapids. Woo, there he goes. And as I watched him, he went under a couple of times. And I have to tell you that I was really afraid that I'd lost him forever. I cried on the shore second time that day. And all of a sudden, his little head popped up. Then he went all the way on the other side. And I knew he was okay. And I thought, thank you, God. My husband said to me, "Honey, there's no other way. We're going to have to go down these rapids. We're going to have to do it together." I said, No. There's a boat coming. Boat coming. Not doing the rapid thing. No, as you can see, I had a little thing on there. I'm going to drown, but I don't want to go down those rapids. Rocks in the way. It's hard. He took my arm and we went, and I cried. He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay on your back." And this is my husband to me. "Lay on your back. We're going to lay on together. We're going to lay on our backs. Every time you see a rock, every time you feel a rock, you hit it with your foot." What? Why, you've got to be kidding me! So I'm yelling because it's raining too. He said, "No, I want you to do that. This is what we're going to do. We are going to do this." So he grabbed my hand. I went on my back. And I was a woman of total faith. It was peace all the way down the river. Are you kidding? I screamed and cried. I mean, everything down that river. Every time I'd hit a rock, it hit me right in the bottom. It was awful. It was awful. And at one point, we kind of got apart, and I was like, "Oh, dear Lord." And I grabbed hold of him. I don't know what. I would have grabbed his head. I would have grabbed. I could have. I don't know. But I was like, "We are not going to be separated through this." And we got through the river together, and then we swam over, and my son and my daughter, who were watching us, were totally, my daughter was freaking out over on the side, thinking for sure she would see us drown. And she told my son, who had dad's cell phone, you need to call the police. He said, really? She said, yes, you call the police. They called the police. I kid you not. We're swimming to the shore, and I hear the siren. Woo! Coming. I'm like, oh, my word. And when I got to the shore, there was a policeman. He couldn't swim. Isn't that funny? I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't know that when I was swimming in the river. But I will tell you that story because it wasn't what I thought. Jesus had another plan, and it changed me forever. It changed me the way I saw God, the way I saw my husband, the way our family saw each other. It changed us forever. So here we are. Look at the the dew, the glazed look on my face. Thank God I'm alive, right? So anyway, here we go. One encounter with God can change everything. Hallelujah, right? He can. Well, let's look at scripture. I won't keep you very long here, but let's go to John. This is John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. They were waiting, okay? For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man, we don't know his name, okay? A certain man was there with an infirmity. He was sick. Other translations say he was an invalid, unable to care for himself. 38 years. Now, when Jesus saw him lying there, okay, there's lots of other people, but Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Just thinking, really? Okay, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. Now listen to this, he was made well at his command. Then he took up his bed and he walked. And that was the Sabbath day. This was another encounter. Encounters with Christ look different. Oh, sorry. They look different. They could be something that you haven't really ever imagined, wasn't really expecting. This man wasn't expecting. It was like every other day. He had been there for 38 years. Now, I don't know if he was born that way. We don't know. We just know he's been there a long time, and he's sick. Some translations said, like I said, he was an invalid. He was unable to care for himself. He was too weak to care for himself. He had been there for 38 years. Sick. Have you ever been in a position of state for a long time? Now, I want you to be encouraged. I'm not saying to you, you're going to be somewhere 38 years, okay? Sometimes we can, if we're hurting and we're in a difficult place, we think, oh, Lord, she's trying to say it's going to be an awful long time. Yeah, I'm not saying that. I mean, the point of it is that he'd been in this state a long time. I don't know. I think about this man, and I think he was an invalid. He was unable to care for himself. You know, after a while, people become invisible. We're uncomfortable with people who are struggling, whether they're sick or something. We just, if it's a long time, we don't quite know what to do, people in general. So we kind of separate ourselves by ignoring them, by kind of look through them. We look through them. We just don't want to deal with that. And so what comes with that with people, a lot of times, the person that is being ignored or feeling invisible, I don't matter. I'm not worth much. I don't. And then, of course, the voice of the enemy. Yeah, you're right. You aren't worth much. Look at that. If you were worth something, you wouldn't be laying here for 38 years. It's got to be your problem. This has got to be your fault. And so there's shame in that, shame that comes. Because shame is all about that something is wrong with you. Because this wouldn't be happening if it wasn't your fault. That's the enemy. He's a liar. So I'm thinking about this man. So it's a regular day. What's interesting to me is he didn't even recognize who Jesus was. Jesus came and spoke to him specifically, and he didn't recognize who he was. Interesting. When we're stuck in a place and Jesus comes and he speaks to us, we got shame maybe going on, got something going on. Hard to recognize his voice. Hard to recognize him. My husband was Jesus to me on that day of the river. I didn't have a boat come rescue me. I had to go down the rapids and it hurt my, bottom. I got bruises, He didn't take me out of the river. I'm like, take me out of the river. Woo! No, he said, you're going to float down the river, but I'm going to give you somebody to go with you. Somebody else is going to get bruises on their bottom too. But he complained less than I did. And he didn't scream one time. But we don't recognize Jesus, do we? We want something a certain way. See, the man wanted the water. I want the water to move. That's how we've always known it. When the water moves, somebody will come along and they'll put me in the water. And that's how I'll get healed. Because that's how it was always done, right? So that's what he's put his faith in. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, who could just, woo! I mean, he'd be totally healed, right? He didn't. Interesting. He's putting his faith in something he doesn't need to put his faith in, right? But it's interesting, why did Jesus ask him the question? You think Jesus really needed to know? Jesus, Son of God, do you want to be made well? I mean, that's kind of like, I've been here for 38 years. What kind of question is that? Jesus does that. When the blind man came to him, what do you want me to do? He's blind. I mean, what? Why does Jesus do that? Why? Do you know why? Because probably no one ever talked to that man anymore. See, Jesus isn't all about just healing us, like physically. He's about restoring dignity. I love that about God. Dignity. Ha! I'm not only going to heal you, I'm going to see you. And you get to talk to me. You get to tell me all about it. And I'm not going to condemn you for it. I'm going to sit here. I feel like it's what Jesus did. He went through. He saw the man. And he went and sat by him. Because I think that's how Jesus is. Sat by him. Maybe he'd always known people just that they just cared for him. Maybe they told him he was a burden all the time. All I got to do is got to feed you. Got to, clean up your mess. And, Jesus sat with him, asked him a question because he wanted him to know he saw him. And because he was challenging the way he thought. I think we need to be challenged in what we think. That's why we need encounters with God every single day. Because we get stuck. We get stuck and this is the way it should be. And 2 + 2 = 4 always. Not 28, not 27. It's 2 + 2 = 4. I want it my way. So God asks questions. Do you really want to be made well? Do you? Interesting. So we ask him a question. And then the man goes and tells him, people are always getting in front of me. I mean, by the time I ask people to come and help me, somebody else has jumped in front of me. Somebody else has promoted before me. So I'm always overlooked. I'm never going to get the blessing. I'm never going to get mine. I'm never going to get that. Somebody else is more deserving than I am. Now let me ask you a question. How long has that worked for him? 38 years, right? I don't know. I'm not saying that the reason he was sick was because of that, but I do think sometimes the reason we're stuck in places is because what we're thinking and what we're putting our hope in. It's kind of like me. 2 + 2 = 4. If I do this and I do this, then I get this. And then it's just a cycle. And then the enemy just comes in. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. And then we don't want to come near God because we think there's something wrong with us. And God is saying, it's not about that at all. It's about me and you together. It's about me seeing you. It's about me coming down and coming and getting in a mess where you are and the stink. You know the stink. Yeah, I know the stink. I certainly know the stink, but God does too, and he's not intimidated by the stink. But he is going to ask you a question face to face, one on one, really close. Smell your breath. Yes, it's disgusting, right? Face to face. Do you want to be made well? So he listens to him and he tells him. Well, he tells him, tell him a story. Well, number one, encounters with God change the way we see God. Do you want to be made well? Number one, do you want to be made well? You want to keep doing this thing the same way over and over again? You want to do that? Okay. But you're going to stay stuck. Something about seeing God differently. It's really important. Really important. I love this picture. I found this yesterday on Pinterest. Yes, I'm a Pinterest person. I love this because this is Jesus, and this is him to us. I love that, because that's who he really is. Comes into that mess, picks us up, dirty diapers and all. Snot flying. I know y'all don't have it, but, you know, you got the snotty kids sometimes, right? Well, that's how we can be. Listen, I get started crying. There's snot flies everywhere. It's not pretty. I am not a pretty crier. And God has seen that about me every single time. And he still brings me close like this. And he really doesn't matter if I get snot on him, right? All right. So, face-to-face encounters change the way we see God. He was trying to get that guy to see him differently. I'm right here in your space, in your junk, right here. I'm asking the question. You got to see him differently, right? Well, then the next one here. The encounters with God change the way we see others. He kept looking for other people. I need you to come pick me up, take me to the, well, first of all, I need the water to swirl, right? And then I got to get somebody to come over here and throw me in the water, or stick me in the water, something. And nobody does it quick enough, right? And people always get in before me. His thinking of others was skewed. Something wasn't right there. Everything is all about people helping me. Well, that's all he's known all his life. If he was an invalid, people always came and had to help him, right? So that's kind of the way he has been. And so God had to challenge that. Challenge that. We need to challenge that. I challenge that in my own life. He also saw himself as a victim. I know, we do. I don't know. People are always saying that about me. They're always not looking. They're unfriendly. They're rude. They're, you know, whatever. They always cut me off. I've been there. I'm not making fun of you. I've been there. But that doesn't help us get out of being stuck, right? It doesn't. And I have to tell you, I almost put another slide in here about forgiving people. I have to, on a daily basis, I confess, I need to forgive people every day of my life. Every day. People are going to let you down. They don't mean to. Good people, godly people, people in leadership. I wish I could tell you it's not true. But we do. Don't we? And the grace that we have to extend, a forgiveness that is extended to others, can then be extended to us, because we're just as fallen, right? And just as weak and just as susceptible to offense. Yeah. Well, encounters with God help us to see others differently. I saw my family different from that day on. My son, that moment when he grabbed my hand, he became a man in my sight. He did. Changed me. It changed our four of us now. We're very different than we were before the river experience. Very different. And I'm so grateful for my husband. I am so, so grateful that he went over those rocks. He slipped and slid, and he did. And he went down that river with me screaming right beside him. That's kind of like life, honey, isn't it? Yeah. When he told me we were going to go into ministry, no, I don't want to be a pastor's wife, no. Yeah, one of the best things God's ever done. That boy, oh boy, I've been screaming the whole way. Okay, here's my picture. This is for Gina Miller because she knows I love the Minions and you always send me stuff. Anyway, keep calm and laugh with friends. So when we have people in the right perspective, right, then they don't owe us anything. And we can laugh and we can see them as gifts from the Lord. Okay? And then finally, you know, he's telling Jesus all about why, you know, he couldn't get healed. Jesus listened. He did. He didn't condemn him. He didn't tell him you're wrong about you shouldn't do that, you know. He didn't. He just listened. Jesus liked that. You know, I've done that. I'm griping and complaining about something. Jesus listens. And usually he'll say to me, I love you. Because that's really what I need to hear. I love you. I'm with you. I know, God, I'm so sorry. You know, that kind of thing is what we do. At least women do that. I don't know about men. You all, I don't know. You probably don't do that. What do you do? Do you, like, punch a pillow? Or what do you do? I don't know. Go out and chop wood? I don't know. You are manly. I don't know. I'm not a man, so I don't. But I know it's the same way. You have to hear God say he loves you too. He does. You are strong in the Lord. We need you, you guys. Wherever you are, God knows. He is for you. And he loves you. All right. And encounters with God change the way we see ourselves. Very powerful in this very last thing. Because he had to ask him a question, change all those things, and finally he said, what? Take up your bed. Rise. Well, he's an invalid. What do you mean, rise? I mean, he hasn't risen in his whole life. I don't know. I mean, 38 years. I don't know. And Jesus said, rise. Not only are you going to stand, now you're going to take up your bed. You're going to get up. You're going to pick up that bed, and then you're going to walk. Yeah. You're going to walk right out of that situation. You are. But only with the encounters along the way. We need encounters along the way of our life every day. We can't walk out of situations if we don't. We are hungry. And I really pray that God will stir your hearts because this is for you. Wherever you are, you know, he will stir your hearts. Here's my picture. I love, to help us see ourselves differently through his eyes as a child that he loves, that he's come down with us. And he said, you can't rise and take up your bed and walk without me. So encounters help us to see God differently, others differently, and see ourselves differently. And healing comes. And sometimes it isn't just being rescued out of a situation the way you think it's supposed to be. It's that God is saying, I'm coming down in there with you, and I'm going to walk you out of this thing. And you're at the end, you're going to have dignity. You're going to have value. And you're not going to have to depend on others for those things. It's God who does those things. We walk together with others, and we need their encouragement, and we need prayer, and we need their care. But it doesn't depend on others. It depends on us being what? Face to face, asking the questions, right? Being vulnerable, because you got to let him in those really hard places. And then you have to be obedient to what he tells you to do. You have to believe and then be obedient, because he really is for you. He's not against you. Not ever is God against you. So let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We just thank you, God, that you are here. You are with us in every way. Father, I just pray that you would bless people today. You would help them to see, God, that you love them. That you are working in us and bringing transformation through encounters with you. I pray that our hearts, God, would allow you to do the work that you need to do in us. You need to do in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. One last thing I forgot, the sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This represents a sheep that was white. And after my river experience, this is what it looked like. Because I felt like I was going through a death experience. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I used to be white. Anyway, got a little more character. So anyway, he's on my mantle and he reminds me that the Lord is my shepherd. He helps me. And then one last scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.